Rebbitson, you're muted. One second. Okay, try talking.
Hello. You hear me?
Oh, one second. My sound is off. One second. Okay, sorry.
You hear me? You hear me?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, maybe we will begin. The Rambam has a famous essay where he recommends that we shouldn't be extreme to one direction or the other. We should always go in the middle of the road, the Derech HaMemutza. And he says that the Torah tells us, V'halachta Mizrachav, we should preserve the Tzelem Elokim that we were created with by imitating the ways of God. And he says, that's called Derech Hashem. Pasuk says, Avraham Avinu went by Derech Hashem. And the Derech Hashem is the Derech HaMemutza. So there was a Jewish philosopher in Italy, David Lozzato, his own is Shadal, who wrote a whole attack against the Rambam, that the Rambam picked this up from the Greek philosophers, and why did he put it in the Mishnah Torah? He picked it up from Greek philosophy. He should quote Eitzes from the Chazal, from the Gemara. So Maritz Chai has a whole essay to defend the Rambam. So he says the Rambam got it from the Gemara, the presentation that the Rambam gives, he picked up from the Greek philosophers, but the whole idea appears in the Gemara. So the one source for this idea is the Mishnah here, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet, Levitus Hishtiavna, Miod Miod Hevishvaluach. So the Rambam explains in his commentary on the Mishnah is that Minatoira, the din is that you should always go to Derech HaMemutza. That's the way to fulfill the Halakha B'drachav, Derech Hashem. Not to be extreme in one direction or the other. So in our Torah, with respect to arrogance and humility, you should always also go with Derech HaMemutza. You shouldn't be extremely humble. You should be in the middle of the road. This Mishnah is a Gzeira Midrabbanan. Just like we have Dinim Deraisa in Gzeira Midrabbanan, let's say, to cook meat and milk and to eat Basa B'cholav is an Issa Deraisa. If you cook chicken, if you have chicken cooked in milk, that's a gzeirah midrabbanan. You're not allowed to carry in a rishus harabim. That's a din d'oraisa. You're not allowed to carry in a karmelis. That's a din midrabbanan. A lot of times you're only carrying in a karmelis. It's not a rishus harabim d'oraisa. Well, you're not allowed to write with the right hand on Shabbos. That's an isa d'oraisa. You write with the left hand. That's a gzeirah midrabbanan. So too we have gzeirah midrabbanan in this area of midas as well. So this mishnah is a gzeirah midrabbanan. Miyod, miyod. One should be extremely humble. Heavy shval ruach. In Atari, you really go with Derech HaMemutza. The Rambam in Hilchos Deis, when he talks about Midas Tovos, seems to contradict himself on this topic. In Perek Aleph in Hilchos Deis, the Rambam says you should always go with Derech HaMemutza, and he gives an example, humility and arrogance, you should go with Derech HaMemutza. And then in Perek Beis, the Rambam quotes this Mishnah, Miod Miod Hevishval Ruach, and he says here you have to go to the extreme. So the Lech HaMishneh, and his commentary on the Ram points out it's a contradiction. So the Yosameach writes in his Sefer, look in the Pirish HaMishnais on this Mishnah, you see what the Teretz is. In Perek Aleph, the Rambam is telling you what the Din D'oraisa was. The Din D'oraisa used to be, you have to go B'derech HaMemutza with respect to arrogance and humility as well. It's only a Gzeira Midrabbanan that you have to go to the extreme. Why did it make such a Gzeira Midrabbanan? So remember once Rabbi Gifter recommended to me that I should read a drasha that was printed in Yiddish. It was delivered in Yiddish and printed in Yiddish by the rabbi in Kovna, the last rabbi in Kovna, the author of the Dvar Avram. He died in the Kovna ghetto before the Nazis had a chance to murder him. They have, when you go touring in Kovna and all the areas there, and a lot of the shuls that are still open, that are still functioning, they have his picture. They have the picture of Rebitzka Chana and a picture of the governor of. So I took out this drasha. It was a long drasha that was given by the Dvar Avraham to women about observance of Taras HaMishpacha. It's about 100 pages long, printed in Yiddish. It's reading. I think it was page 90 or so. Towards the end of the drasha, he has a long footnote where he explains why, according to the Ram, why did they make such a gzera de Rabbanan? So he explains, because it's hard to tell what are the two extremes. A person is arrogant, thinks that he's very humble. So because it's difficult, it's often very difficult to determine which is the Derech HaMemutza, which is the middle of the road. So that's why they made Gzeira D'Rabbanan, that you have to go to the extreme. But on the level of the Raisa, this dintak is also to go b'derech hamamutzah. Likewise, the Maritz Chayis points out, the Gemara, the first daf in Masechet Soita, that the Mishnah, in the Mishnayis you have Masechet Nazir next to Soita. So the Gemara says, why is that? Because in Chumash, that's the way it is. In Chumash Bamidbar, in Parshas Naso, you have Soita, and then you have the Parsha of Nazir. Why does Nazir come right after Soita? So the Gemara says, Haroi Soita b'kekula yazer atzma men ayayin. Why? You should really go b'derech hamamutzah all of your life. You should go in the middle of the road. But if you live in a society where there's, the Rambam explains all of this in the Mishnah Torah. If you live in a society where the door is parut, weak in a certain area, so then it's recommended you should go to the extreme till things will straighten out, and then you can go back to the derech hamamutzah. To have a drink of schnapps once in a while is not so bad. But if you live in a generation where you see a soita, you live in a generation every day in the newspaper, there's one soita. They read any newspaper any day. There are 100 soitas. So if you live in a generation that's pirates in that area, you should go to the other extreme. The Rambam says, like, sometimes medically the doctors will recommend a person, a normal, healthy person, eats normal food. And sometimes a person is not healthy. The doctors recommend for a week or two he should eat strange food, and then after his system gets back to normal, he can go back to eating the normal food. So the same over here, the Rambam says in Midas, if the door is parrots in a certain area, our door is parrots in a lot of things. Our door is parrots in Arayas, our door is very parrots in Gezel. Maybe it would be a good idea. We should all be Machmer and Gezel. Anytime there's a Chashash Gezel, even if according to the Halacha it's Mutter, there's no Issa Gezel, maybe it would make sense to, like I already said, to be Kukula. You go to the extreme. Maybe in our generation, we should all go to the extreme with respect to Gezel. The Gemara Bava Basra has the famous comment. Rubam b'Gezel. Most of the people are in violation of Gezel. Here and there, a little bit cheating. In business, are cheating. On income tax, people cheat a little bit in Gezel. Miyutam b'arayis. Way less than 50% violate our rights. However, the kulam, all human beings violate ba'avak lashon hara. They don't. Not everybody violates lashon hara, but avak lashon hara. That's what the Gemara says. So that these gezel in lashon hara and avak lashon hara, that's where the front of the battle is. So that's where we should look for chumras. One of the rabbanim in the yeshiva who honored Rabbi Soloveitchik very much, but he used to say Rabbi Soloveitchik is always recommending chumras and the nusach hatfila, a dikduk over here, should be machma on this, machma on that. So he used to say that's not where the battlefront is. That's not where the Yetzihara is fighting with us. What nusach hatfila? To say this word or that word. The battlefront is gezel and arayas and these kind of things. So we should really sometimes go to an extreme on these and yonim. The Mishnah continues, Mishnah Dalet. That's Mishnah Dalet. Rabbi Levitus Hishnabden says, Miod, Miod, Hevish, Falruch. Abdechem Ben Broker says, one should be very careful in Chil Hashem. That's this week's Zedra in Parsha Samor. Torah tells us, L'sachalu Hashem Kachi. Every Jewish person is an ambassador of the Jewish religion, a representative of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So whenever a Jew does an aver anywhere in the world, they don't view him as an individual. If you, every Jew is representing all of Klal Yisrael. If you have, let's say, a Frenchman did some Avera, or a British person did an Avera, so the world will not condemn all the French or all the British because one person did something improper. But if one Jew does, there's a double standard in the world. If one Jew does an Avla, so they blame the whole Jewish people. That's the whole discussion in the newspapers now about de Blasio, that he said that the Jewish community, not the Jewish community, can't even say the Hasidic community. Those Hasidim who had the big funeral, they were not sensitive. They can't condemn the whole people. Yeah, Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out, why this double standard? He says, Al Pidin, it's correct, because by Nochrim, each person is an individual. Al Pidin, there's no concept of a Tzibur. That's a Gemara in the end of Nozir and Perek HaKusim. By Nochrim, every Nochri is on his own. By the Jewish people, there's a concept of tzibur, and call this all arevim zebazeh. So that's why it is true. It's not a double standard. It is correct. What one Jew one Jew does an avla, so they pin the blame on the whole Jewish people. It is correct al fi din like that, because kol yisrael ha'arevim zeh b'zeh, by us there is a tzibun. So that's the concept of chilul Hashem, kiddush Hashem, chilul Hashem. A Jew has to act in such a way to bring praise to the Jewish religion, to the Jewish people. That's the mitzvah of kiddush Hashem and chilul Hashem. So the Mishnah sounds like it says echad shogeg echad nezid b'chilul Hashem, that you get the same punishment whether a person causes a chilul Hashem b'shogeg or b'nezid. How can that be? That's impossible. So that's what the Rambam explains in the Pirush HaMishnayos and all the commentaries quote the Rambam. It does mean that you get the same punishment. The Mishnah, Rabbi Yechon Abreker, starts off by saying that other averes that a person does, he may suffer privately, he may be punishment HaShemayim for the sins that he does. If a person does the avera of Chil Hashem, then even if he did Chil Hashem b'seiser, in a frame of man b'goloi, it'll become public knowledge. And then the Mishnah says, even if he did Chil Hashem b'shoigeg, echad shoigeg echad mezid, if he did Chil Hashem, the punishment that he will suffer will become beforesome. But it doesn't mean that he gets the same punishment. That's certainly not fair and certainly not true. It cannot be true that the person who does Chil Hashem b'shoigeg will get the same punishment as one who does Chil Hashem b'mezid. It cannot be. There's a beautiful Mishnah later, Mishnah Yud Dalit. Mishnah quotes Rabbi Nohiroi Omer. Who was Rabbi Nohiroi? So there are two Mishnayos in Kiddushin that seem to contradict each other. The Mishnah quotes, Rabbi Meir says, every father is obligated to teach his son how to make a parnasa. Nice statement. Chayvodim alalamiz b'no umnis. And then there's another Mishnah in a different place in Kiddushin. Reb Nahiroi says, forget about making a parnosa. I'm only going to teach my son learning Torah. I'm not going to teach my son how to make a parnosa. So the Pnei Yeshua is bothered with Akasha that the Gemara in Erevin tells us Reb Meir is the same person as Reb Nahiroi. Meir means light, Nahiroi. Nahiroi means light in Aramaic. So isn't it a contradiction between the two statements of Reb Meir? On the one hand, Reb Meir says, Chai Vodim Lamad is Bena Umnes, and Reb Nahiroi says, Meneach Hanich Alumnes Shabbalam, Eni Meneach, Eni Malamad is Bena Yad HaTorah. So the Brisker Rav in a Sefer on Chumash, I think the only place that he quotes an Achren is on this topic. He quotes the Pnei Yeshua, yes, this Kasha, and he gives an answer. He says, Reb Meir is saying in general, parents should see to it that they teach their children a parnasa. But Reb Nahiroi, Reb Meir says, but my son is very talented. He's cut out for learning. Some people are cut out for learning in a kollel. Not everybody. It's not a project for the masses. It's not a program for the masses. The Gemara says, Harbi Yosef Kereb Shimon Baichoi, V'loi Yosef B'yodam. The Reb Shim Baichoi says everyone should sit and learn all day and all night. So that's not a. So the Gemara says, "Harbi Yosik Reb Shim Baichoi." Many tried to emulate Reb Shim Baichoi to sit and learn all day long, and they were not successful. That's not a program for the masses, but for Yechidei Sgula, it is a program. So that's Rabbi Abba Soloveitchik says that's the Teretz on the Kasha. So I remember once, many, many years ago, Rabbi Yanki Kamenetsky spent the Shabbos in Washington Heights. I think it was the bar mitzvah of his wife's grandson. His second wife had a grandson who became bar mitzvah, so he stayed in the Heights, and I think the Daf Yomi was that Shabbos was making a siyum on Seder Noshim, so they made a big shalashudis, and they were mechabed Rabbi Yankin Kamenetsky to speak. So he spoke about this contradiction between the kasha of the Pnei Yeshua, because Kiddushin, the last Masechta Noshim is Kiddushin. That's one of the last Mishnayos about Reb Nahiroi Yomer, Meneach Alik Halum Shabbalim, Emer Alamin is Bnei Ala Torah. So he said, if you look in the Gemara Erevin, you'll see that the Maharsha is not correct. Reb Meir is not the person, not the same person as Reb Nahiroi. It doesn't say that in the Gemara in Erevin. So the Gemara in Erevin says like this. when Reb Meir was born, and they had his bris, so they gave him, they have the Kriya Shem by the bris. That's the meaning that we have. The Korishma B'Yisrael. So he gave him the name Nahiroi. Then when he grew up, they decided to give him a nickname, Reb Meir, instead of Reb Nahirai. They called him Reb Meir. Then there was another person who lived around the same time in the period of the Tanaim. When he was born, they called him Reb Loza ben Aruch. When he grew up, they gave him a nickname, Reb Nahirai. So when we say Reb Meir, Reb Nahirai, it's not that it's the same person. Reb Meir, his real name by the Bris was Nahirai, and they gave him, instead of Nahirai, they called him by the other name, Meir. And whenever it says in the Mishnah, Reb Nahirai, his real name was Reb Loza ben Aruch, and this was a nickname. So who is this Reb Loza ben Aruch? So the Gemara in Shabbos tells the story. The Gemara pins all the blame on the women. So the Gemara tells the story. Reb Loza ben Aruch was very, very big Talmud Chacham. He was one of the five students of Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai, and he's praising him, such a big Talmud Chacham. So his wife wanted to live in a resort area. So she told her husband, let's move to that location. So he said, what do you mean? There's no Talmid HaChachamim there. There's no yeshiva there. So she said, but you're such a big Talmid HaChacham, all the students must follow you. They won't have any choice. They'll have to come to learn by you. So they moved to that location, and the students did not come and follow him, and he forgot all of his learning. And then finally, when he came back to society, and they gave him an aliyah once, he could, in the days of the Gemara, the practice was whoever got the aliyah would learn from the Sefer Torah. We have a practice, we have a Balkari that was apparently instituted in the days of the Gaonim, because not everybody can pronounce the words properly, and not everybody will know the trup. So we're afraid the fellows, everyone who gets an aliyah is going to learn his own parsha, he's going to ruin the whole Kriyas HaTorah. So we have an institution, we have a Balkari lanes for everybody. But in the days of the Gemara, whoever got the Aliyah would lane. So they gave him the Aliyah, Parsha Sachirish HaSelachem. He couldn't even read the words. He forgot so much, he's simple reading and couldn't read the words. Instead of Achirish HaSelachem, he read Achirish HaYalibam. So some of the Mepharshim say it's not that he couldn't read the words. He forgot so much learning. He was the brightest of all the Tanoim in his time. He was the brightest, but because he was away from learning for so many years, so his heart, he lost his feeling for learning, and he was like a cherish ein shamer ve'ein medaber. Whether you take it literally that he misread the words, or you take it that he forgot his learning, whatever, but he was the one who forgot because he listened to his wife. So that's what he tells from his own life's experience. Rab Nahirai Yoimah, that's Rab Loza ben Aruch. Have you gone to the Mekam Torah? Make sure you go to a city where there's a lot of learning going on. Don't listen to your wife, who's going to tell you, you're the God of Ador, you say such knockout shiurim. The students will have no choice. They'll have to come to learn by you. It's not true. They will not come to learn by you. The other Tanoim, who are less learned than him, will give shiurim on a lower level, but the Talmidim will go to learn by them because they're already existing yeshivas. You always have to live in a community where there's a lot of Torah going on. Rabbi Noscha al Tisho, and you shouldn't rely on the fact that you're so smart in learning. Then Rabbi Yanky Kamenetsky commented, if Rabbi Loza ben Aruch, when he was born, they gave him the name Rabbi Loza ben Aruch, and then later they gave him a nickname Reb Nahirai. Nahirai means light, because when he gave shir, it was so illuminating. So they gave him the name Nahirai. So when Rab Meir was born, they gave him the name Nahirai. So why did they change it when he grew older? Why did they give him a nickname Rab Meir? What's wrong with the name Nahirai? They gave Rab Loza ben Aruch the name Nahirai because he was Nahirai, he was illuminating. So they should have remained with Rab Meir's name, Nahirai. Why did they change it to Rab Meir? So Rab Yanky Kamenetsky made a comment that there's a difference between Meir and Nahirai. Meir means the sun. The sun is the source of all of the light. Nahirai means when the light sheds on the globe. So where Meir was born, they gave him the name Nahirai. They thought that it's going to be very illuminating. But then the Gemara tells us in Erevin, the first parak in Erevin, that daf. The Gemara tells us Reb Meir used to give such pilpulim in his shir, he would give 50 explanations why he can say osuf, why he can say mutter, and the students wouldn't be able to figure out what is his opinion. What does he hold halacha l'maisa? He just opened up all the logical possibilities. And the Gemara says in the days of the Tanoim, the students were not interested in that kind of a shir. students wanted to hear halacha lemaisa. Today, if you have a Rebbe who gives you a shir and he gives you halacha lemaisa, a lot of the students will run away from his shir. Today, the students only like that. Open up all the logical possibilities and you philosophize with hakiris on top of hakiris. But in the days of the Tanaim, they didn't like it. So the Gemara says Reb Meir was left with hardly any students because they all left and they went to the other Tanaim who gave a little explanation. They gave halacha lemaisa what the psak is. So when Reb Meir grew older, so they called him a nickname that was derogatory. They called him, he's a Dova HaMeir, he's like the sun. But he's not really Nehoira, he doesn't really give illumination. Because after you listen to Shem, you still don't know what the din is. That's why the Gemara says, in the next generation, when they were voting to take the consensus to see what the majority opinion was, so Reb Meir usually lost. Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Halachik Reb Yehuda. Reb Meir, Reb Shimon, Halachik Reb Shimon. Whenever Reb Meir disagrees with others, usually, Ruba, the din is not like Reb Meir. Because in the next generation, when they were voting, so most of the people who were entitled to an opinion had not learned by Rav Meir. They learned a little bit by Rav Meir, then they left, and they learned by the other Tanoim. But Rav Loza ben Aruch, when he grew older, his shiurim was so illuminating, so they gave him a nickname that was the Kavadik. They called him Noi Roy. He gives illumination. He gives light. So then Rabbi Yanka Kamenetsky added on, he's giving this talk in Breuers, where the motto of the school is Torim Derech Eretz. And Derech Eretz by them means secular education. So he says, Rabbi Meir was like the sun. He was the source. He was a genius, super genius, but he didn't really give illumination. So that's why Rabbi Meir didn't really understand practical living. He didn't really give illumination. So that's why he said incorrectly, a man is mechuyav to teach his son parnasa. But Reb Nachman Roy, who was a man of the world, he gave illumination. He's the one who says, "Meneach ali kalum mishabar levein malamen is bnei al haTorah." He lives in this world, and he says it's not a smart idea to study secular education. So this is the punchline of the talk that he gave in Breuers by the Shalashudis. Interesting. This perek begins with Ben Zayma, then with Ben Azai, then you have Elusha Ben Avuya, then you have Rabbi Akiva, as mentioned, in the Mishnayos. So there's a famous Gemara in the second perek in Chagiga. Second perek in Chagiga talks about studying Kabbalah. So the Gemara says that there were four Tanoim Shenichnasu LePardes, whatever Pardes means. So we usually assume Pardes, paradise, something, whatever Pardes means, something about Kabbalah. The Rambam understands that Pardes is physics and secular knowledge. Physics, philosophy, all secular knowledge. So the Rambam says that a person shouldn't study all the secular things until he's mile kreso, b'shasa poskim, has to learn a lot of halacha first, a lot of gemara, but then it's okay. And if you study secular studies when you're too young, then it's not healthy. And that's the way he understood this Gemara. Abon nichnusu lepardes means that they were studying secular studies. And they would. So the Gemara says, Ben Azai, Ben Zayma, Mishnah Aleph, Mishnah Beis. We don't give the name. The Bartanura says, both of them, Shimon Ben Azai, Shimon Ben Zayma. How come we don't call them by the first name? How come we don't give them the smicha? What happened? They didn't have smicha. Everybody else is Rebbe, and these two people. So he said, they never got smicha because they died young. That's what the Gemara says. Then these four were nichnasu lepardes. Because these two were too young, that's why Ben Azai died young, and he never got smicha. The Gemara is not sure whether Ben Azai never married or he married and he got divorced. There's a medrash that said he married Rabbi Akiva's daughter, and then the next day after he got married, he decided marriage is not for him, so he got divorced. And then Zayma, the Gemara says, went out of his mind because he studied Pardes, according to their main secular studies, philosophy and physics and so on. So he lost his mind, and Ben Azai died young. Rabbi Akiva was older, so Rabbi Akiva was nichnas lepardes, and everything was fine. He was healthy. And Elisha ben Avuya, he was older. He wasn't young. But the Gemara says he went off the derech. He became an apikoros. Why? Ben Azai, Ben Zayma, one died young and one lost his mind because the Gemara says they were too young. But why did Elisha ben Avuya go off the derech? What happened to him? So the Babli says because he used to read books about apikursis. Sifrei Minim. He used to have when he was a Talmud in Yeshiva, in addition to learning Torah, he would see what the apikursim have to say. And the Tosfos there in Chagiga quotes a Yerushalmi, has a whole different explanation. What happened? Why did he go off to Derech? So the Yerushalmi tells a story that at his bris, his father, Avuya, invited all the Rabbanim from Yerushalayim to attend the bris. So the Balabatim were dancing and singing in one room. And the Tanoim said, we're not dancing, it's not for us. That's for the Balabatim. They're going to sit and talk and learning. So they're sitting in the other room and talking and learning. And a fire came down from heaven and encircled all of them. So the father of the baby, Avuya, the father of Elisha ben Avuya, didn't realize what's happening. So he thought that someone started to smoke or something, and they're going to burn down his house. So he started screaming at the Tanaim, what are you burning down my house? Be careful. So they said, calm down, take it easy. It's okay. This is not the fire that burns. This is like when Moshe Rabbeinu saw this, this is an Esh Min HaShamayim that illuminates and it doesn't consume, it doesn't burn. And every day in the yeshiva, when we learn Torah, Adram Smechem Kinisinosim Isinai, that's the expression that the Yerushalmi uses. The Torah is so cheerful, so there's always this heavenly fire that comes down. It doesn't consume anything. You don't have to worry. Your carpet is not going to get destroyed, and the curtains are not going to get ruined. Don't worry about it. So he was watching. The father, Avuya, was watching, and he saw, yeah, the fire is not burning anything. So he said, hey, that's quite a stunt. That's quite a trick. When my child, this baby who just had the bris, Elisha ben Avuya, and he grows older, I'm going to see to it to send him to a yeshiva to learn. He should become a Talmid Chacham. He'll be able to do this stunt also, to make a fire come down from heaven that doesn't consume anything. So the Yerushalmi says that because, the Gemara says that to learn Shalom Lishma is not so terrible. The Olam Yasakonim HaTorah Shalom Lishma, Shemitoch Shalom Lishma, Baal Lishma. It's not so terrible if a person learns Shalom Lishma, but if the motivation of the parents, the motivation of founding the whole yeshiva is Shalom Lishma. The learning, the individual is learning, if he learns Shalom Lishma, the world doesn't come to an end, not so terrible. But if the motivation of the parents to learn is Shalom Lishma, then it's going to turn out to be terrible. So the Yerushalmi attributes the fact that Elisha ben Avuya became an apikoros to the father's intention. I remember there was a fellow who was married. He since got divorced. He had quite a few children. And one summer, he only insisted that he wanted me to learn with his son. His son is going to be the Gadol HaDor in the next generation, and he wanted me to, I should retire. This was a long time ago. I should retire. I should give up my position in the yeshiva, and I should only learn with his son to prepare his son to be the Gadol HaDor of the next generation. So I spent the summer learning with the son. Son Taka was very talented, but unfortunately the arrogance that the father had was transmitted to the son. So just last year or 2 years ago, there was a whole scandal. The son was married and he had children, and then he was starting up with a lot of women, and the wife had a divorce him. And it's a terrible tragedy. He was extremely talented, but because the father was so arrogant, he transmitted the arrogance to the son, and the whole setting up of the learning of the son was all Shalom Lishma, just that he should become the next Gadol HaDor. So that's why, perhaps that's the reason why it didn't work out. It was very tragic. The son was very talented. So this Ben Zayma, he never got smicha. There's a Gemara in the first parak in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that Rav Meir got smicha from Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava gave up his life to give smicha to five students. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, what do you mean? But he got smicha earlier from somebody else. Why did he need a second smicha from Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava? So the Gemara says he got smicha originally. It's unclear. It means he didn't accept the smicha. They offered him smicha, he didn't accept it. Or Klal Yisrael didn't accept his smicha. The smicha that's conferred, the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis in Bechoris on Daf Chav Tes, that smicha, the Gemara says smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara doesn't explain why. It's not an agricultural mitzvah. It has nothing to do with the farmers. So why can smicha only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael? So the Rambam explains that there's some mitzvahs, agricultural mitzvahs, only apply in Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is the Holy Land. Fine, there's Kedushas Haaretz. But there are other mitzvahs that only apply in Eretz Yisrael because they're national mitzvahs. Chayvus HaTzibur. And the real Tziruf HaTzibur is the Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz are not really part of the Tzibur. The Gemara says they're considered Kiyichidim Domo. So conferring smicha, the Rambam has a chiddush. When you give smicha, smicha is not a private affair. I want to give smicha to my student who's outstanding. No, the smicha is conferred as the rabbis. You need a bezin of three to confer ordination to a student. The ordination is conferred as representing all of Klal Yisrael. So to represent Klal Yisrael, that's only when you're in Eretz Yisrael. So if they conferred smicha to Reb Meir and the Klal Yisrael didn't accept it, so then the smicha wasn't valid. So Reb Meir needed a second smicha, and he got the second smicha from Rav Yehuda ben Bava. So Rashi comments on that Gemara, why was V'lo Kibluho? Why didn't Klal Yisrael accept the smicha that was conferred to Reb Meir originally? So Rashi writes, L'fi shebacher haya. So in Yiddish, a bacher means a single boy. So that's why many in Europe assume that you can't confer smicha to a bacher, you can only give smicha to a married person. So that's why many rabbanim, Hungarian rabbanim and Galician rabbanim, they have a practice, they'll only give smicha to a married person, or sometimes a person is not yet married, so they'll give him smicha because he's learning well. So they'll write in the text of the smicha, it's a common expression, katporis sudra al reshe. When he starts to daven with the talus over his head, means when he gets married, the smicha should take effect then. Because Rashi said in Sanhedrin that Klal Yisrael didn't accept the smicha, the first smicha of Rameh, because he was a bacher. Pashup shat, that's in Yiddish. The word bacher means a single person. And Rashi didn't speak Yiddish. Rashi spoke French, but he wrote Hebrew. So bacher means he was young. So Klal Yisrael thought that he's too young. How can he get smicha? He's too young. So that's what the Batanur says over here. That Ben Zayma and Ben Azai both died young. And they only gave smicha to older people. So the reason why they called him Ben Zayma, once he would have gotten smicha, they would have called him Rabbi Shimon Ben Zayma, Rabbi Shimon Ben Azai. But they were young. And they were too young, so they didn't give him a smicha. So they didn't call him by the first name either. The Gemara tells in Sanhedrin, the Gemara talks about Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai. There was a case of Din and Nefashis, and the witnesses contradicted each other regarding the Bedikas. Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai canceled the Eidim because in Din and Mamonis, they contradict each other in Bedikas in some insignificant detail. Let's say Reuben murdered Shimon under a tree. So what kind of a tree? So they both say an apple tree. What color were the apples? So he says they were bright red. The other one says, no, they were yellowish. It's an insignificant detail. Maybe there was another tree over there. Not that he said it was an apple tree. He said it's a pear tree. It's a detail of what kind of fruits were growing on the tree. So the Gemara says, Abich Manzakai threw out the Edom, and the guy was acquitted. So there are two sources for this. And one source, it says, Ben Zakkai, Paskin. And the other source, it says, Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai. So the Gemara says, he said this when he was a Talmud. Hayoshib Lifnei Rabbah. He didn't have smicha yet. So before he had smicha, he was known as Ben Zakkai. Nagobahib Ben Zaman Ben Azai. And later on, he became the chief rabbi. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai worked for the first 40 years of his life, and then he retired at the age of 40. And he sat down, he learned for 40 years, and then he was appointed chief rabbi at the age of 80. And he was chief rabbi for 40 years, till the age of 120, died at 120, the Gemara says. So when he was only a student, before he got smicha, he was known as Ben Zakkai. And then when he got smicha, they called him Rabban, Rabbi Yechonim. Rabban means our rabbi. The chief rabbi is called Rabban. The Nasi is called Rabban, our rabbi, in the plural. And Rabbi Yechonim Zakkai is when he just got the smicha. So that's what the Bartanur explains to them. Ben Zayma and Ben Azai died young. Ben Azai died young, and Ben Zayma became a shugah, so he couldn't continue his career in learning. So Ben Zayma has the comment, Ezu chacham alamim mikol adam, shenema ezu gibar kevesh esitzu ezu asher, asamech bechelkai. What is the significance of ezel? What's the difference? Who's a real asher? Who's a real chacham? Who's a real gibar? So Rav Chaim Balojana has a comment over here. A famous comment is a Gemara that says that Ein Ashchina Shora, a person wants to become a Navi, wants to get Ruach HaKodesh, Ein Ashchina Shora, Ela Chacham Gibor LeYosher. You need three qualifications to be able to be Roy, to be a Navi. Chacham Gibor LeYosher. So what does it mean, Gibor? you have to be strong. The simple reading of the Gemara is that, yes, the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi because he was extremely strong. He put up the Mishkan all by himself. These were the Krushim were 10 amas tall, and they were an amma thick, solid wood. How can a human being pick that up? He was like a superman. He was so powerful. The Gemara says, yes. And then the Gemara says he was Usher. Where did he get his wealth from? So the Gemara says, Psa lucha, shnei lucha savanim. He was carving out the luchais. So the psoltan shalchotehe, the psolus, the leftover of the precious material that he was working with, he had the right to keep for himself. So the Gemara says he was wealthy, literally, and he was gibor, he was literally, he was very strong. The Datz Rav Chaim Valozhiner has this interpretation. It's not Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah, that Menzaim is referring to that Maim HaChazal.
You're mute. Mute. Rav Shaftir, you're mute.
Rebbe was muted for a minute. Now I fixed it.
The Rav Chaim Valozhiner interprets that it doesn't mean when the Gemara says in Ashchiru Shel Achachem Gibel Yashir, it doesn't mean powerful and it doesn't mean wealthy. It means that Samech Mechalka means it means Gibra Kevish Sitzra and so on. What is Eitzel Chachem Halamid Mikol Adam? Some people are. The Gemara tells us that in the many disputes between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel, Ruba the Ruba we paskan like the Beis Hillel. There are only six exceptions to the rule. Rav Amram Gaon in the Siddur writes Tosfos in Sukkah Dav Gimel quotes the Siddur Rav Amram Gaon that there are only six cases where we paskan like the Beis Shammai. The Yutches Gzeiris at the end of the first parak in Masechah Shabbos that we paskan like Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says because the next day the Beis Hillel came back to the Beis Medrash and they all agreed with the Beis Shammai. So that it's not that we paskan like Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel weren't there when they voted. Hardly anybody from the Beis Hillel was there. So those who were there were outvoted. But the next day, the rest of the Beis Hillel came back. So they agreed. And there are six cases where we have accepted halacha like Beis Shammai. But Ruba de Ruba, the din is like Beis Hillel. The Gemara gives two reasons why. Number one, because they're the majority, they're roivs. And number two, because if they understood him, they were extremely humble. It doesn't mean Beis Shammai were arrogant. Beis Shammai were humble, but the Beis Hillel were more humble than them. The Gemara says, whenever someone would approach a balabas, would come with a shadow to someone from the Beis Hillel, so they wouldn't say, Oser, Mutter, Apsak. They would say, the Beis Shammai are of the opinion of what? And we humbly disagree. They would not only would they say, it's a machlekes, and they would recognize that the other school disagrees with them, they would say, Beis Shammai's opinion first, out of humility. They were extremely humble. So because they were humble, that's why they were zecher that we paskan like them. So it's very strange. When they graduate college, they should get the humility award. But why do you reward them? Why is this chard that because they were so humble, that's why we paskan like them? So the pashtus is that one who is more humble will be able to be mechaben lamito shel Torah. He'll be able to figure out the correct psak. One who's arrogant will think that he's so smart, he's such a genius. Whatever occurs to him initially on the spur of the moment, that must be that's the din. And when others will disagree with him, he'll just insist that he's right and defend his initial position. But if he's humble, he'll be open to suggestions from other people. Maybe my instinctive reaction, the thought that I had originally was incorrect. So if you're chacham alemin b'kol adam, if you're prepared to listen to what other people have to suggest, you stand a better chance of being mechaben lamito shel Torah coming up with the correct psak halacha. Very interesting Mishneh Tezvav. We don't understand the Shoah. We can't understand it all. So the Mishneh says, the Gemara tells us in all the different generations, all the Nevi'im and all the philosophers, they all wonder, how come you have Tzadik Ve'Ala Rosh V'Tovloi? The Gemara interprets that when Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adein Noz Derachecha, he was asking him, explain to me, Tzadik V'Ra'ala Rosh HaBetovim. So that's what Rabbi Yana Yomer in Mishneh Tezvav. And Biyadena, we don't know how to understand. We can't understand Tzadik V'Ra'ala Rosh HaBetovim. The Chachamim tell us, V'Yaral Kimis Kodemerish, as an apostate and parashat Bereshit, V'Yaral Kimis Kol HaSherosra, V'Yinei Tov Miyod. So the Medrash has a comment, Tov Zehachaim Tov Niot Zehamovis. How can it be Tov Niot Zehamovis? When people die, that's usually a tragedy. Why is that Tov Niot Zehamovis? So that's what the Darshanim all say. If you look at all of history from the beginning to the end, you look at the whole picture, the entire picture, so even Mavis is also considered Tov. We assume everything that the Baruch Shalom does is really the Tov. We don't understand it like that because we don't have such a broad perspective. How long does a person live? So he can't put everything in the proper perspective. But if you put everything in the perspective, then it comes out that everything is really the Tov. That's what the Gemara says, that B'nei Bonav Shal Haman Lam Detar B'nei Brak. The descendants of Haman, Haman was the epitome of evil, that he wanted to kill all the people. Tafanoshim, B'yoy Mechon, he wanted to kill everybody. And nonetheless, it was, Tovah came out from Haman also, and B'nei Bonav Shal Haman Lam Detar B'nei Brak. He told me that one of the boys asked Rav Soloveitchik once in the summertime that we were learning, he was talking about this topic, so they asked him, does he think that you can say the same about the Nazis, that it's really the Teva? He said he thinks that the Nazis are worse than Amalek, it can't be. I don't know, but that's what the Darshanim say. That Kol Madaber Rachmana LeTavavid, we should recite this from Brochus. When a tragedy occurs, we say Brocha Dino Emes. When something wonderful happens, you say, you have to recite the Nusach HaBracha based on your perception. But we're supposed to recite the Bracha Dain HaEmes with the Amunah that Kol Ma'adah B'Rachmona L'Talav. You're supposed to recite Dain HaEmes the Simcha. Yeah. Not easy to do that. Then the Mishnah Tezvav continues. Evizonav La'arayis Valti Yerosh Lushu Olim. If you have a choice, he can either be the chief rabbi of a whole country where there are hardly any Jews who know how to learn Torah, they don't keep any mitzvahs, or he can be in an area where there are lions, big Talmid HaChachamim, and you'll be the most insignificant member of the group. So the Tana recommends you should join the Zana, be the Zana of La'arayis, rather than to be the Rosh L'Shu'olim. So the Tosfos Yontov over here quotes the Medrash Shmuel. Medrashmul is a likut of a late Rishonim, early Achronim on Pirkei Avos. So he quotes from the Meiri. Menachem LeBeis Meir is the Meiri's commentary on Pirkei Avos, that there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Holech es chachamim yechkom. A person who will go with the chachamim will become wise himself. Why does it say es? Es is often always, the next line he writes, es is always hatofel. Like we say, v'rochetz es b'sara b'ma. And his tummy has to go to mikveh. So Gemara says, we darshan the word es. Es means not only does the body have to be tovel in the mikveh, the hair also. The person has long hair, so the whole of the hair has to be submerged under the water. Or it says, v'lo yochal es b'sar sharaniskal. So it says that b'sar sharaniskal is also b'achila, also b'anoah. So it says, v'lo yochal es b'sar, es hatofel b'sar, even the or, even the hide of the sharaniskal is also also b'anoah, not only the basar. The hide is not the same as basa, but it's included in S, where it says, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, the Rabbis Talmid HaChachamim. So why is it learned out from the word S? S always means Hatofel. Marami Prag says, Es Hatofel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which human being is Tofel, who is Mevatel himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Talmid HaChachamim on Mevatel himself. So that's what you learn out. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, the word S means someone who is close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The one is closest, we assume, are the Talmid HaChachamim. So here also, the Pasuk initially says, Holech es Chachamim, one who will make himself tofel to Talmid HaChachamim, will be Yechkam, he himself will become wise. That's the heavy zone of La'arayis. It's better to be tofel to the lions, better to live in a community with the role Talmid HaChachamim, and be an insignificant member of the community, rather than be the chief rabbi of the country, where there are hardly any religious Jews at all. Mishnah Yotes is a famous Mishnah. Shmuel HaKotnim was one of the Tanoim. Moshmuel HaKotnim Mer used to say the following. He just quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, when the follow Yivchal Tismach, when your enemy is defeated, don't rejoice. Ubi Kashla, when he falls in. Al Yogi Libecha, don't celebrate. Penir Hashem Berabi Enav, lest Hashem will see that you're celebrating over the fact that your enemy was defeated. Hei Shemi Olav Apa, Kadosh Baruch will no longer be angry at the enemy. He'll be angry at you for celebrating your victory over your enemy. So what do you mean? All the other Pirkei Avos, everybody's giving a lesson, a lie. He's just quoting a pasuk. So what do you mean? Shmuel HaKotnoi. So the Darshanim, the Rav Soloveitchik, the Darshanim used to say, when they would look at Shmuel HaKotnoi, his essence would say, that's how they say, Hu HaYoimer, in the first parakeet, list off the names of the Talmud and say, Hu HaYoimer, what do you mean, Hu HaYoimer? So we usually interpret, he used to say, he was fond of saying. So others say, Hu HaYoimer, when they would look at him, his essence would teach this lesson. Here, Shmuel HaKotnoi, not that he would say that. When you would look at Shmuel HaKotnoi, you would see this lesson in life. He was the physical embodiment of this lesson. That's famous, I think, from Rav Kook, that the Gemara says when they wanted to compose the text of the bracha, the Gemara's tradition is that the Shemoneh Esrei used to have 18 brachas. Then they added on the Olam Alshinim. That was the 19th bracha. It's a question historically. Does the Tosfos read? It says not so. But that's what it says in the Gemara. The 19th bracha that was added, we call the Shemoneh Esrei because for many, many years it had 18 brachas. And now it has 19. One that was added, the Olam Alshinim. So you want to compose a bracha that the Rabbanu Shalom, who are the Lam Alshinim? Lam Alshinim are the Jewish. Lam Alshinim are the Jews who are mastering to the Roman government how to cause the Jewish people to lose the war against the Romans, how to destroy the Jewish religion. So you have to have a person compose that bracha who doesn't have any personal vendetta against these Rishonim. So they had to turn to Shmuel HaKotnoi, the Gemara says. They turned to Shmuel HaKotnoi, he composed the Nisach HaBrocha, because he was the one who always said, "Benfola Yivchal Tismach." So they had to have to compose such a bracha. You have to have a person who is not going to be Samech over the suffering of his enemy. Mishnah Yud Gimel, maybe we'll close with this. Mishnah Yud Gimel makes a startling statement. Have Yizori B'Talmud. You have to be very careful when you're learning. You shouldn't make a mistake what the maskana is. A lot of people know Gemaras. Yeah, it's a discussion in the Gemara. The din is like this. It's a discussion, but that we don't pass like that. There was a Tana who said like that. You have to be careful not to confuse a discussion in the Gemara with what the maskana is. Unfortunately, we live in a generation where the students are not interested in halacha l'maisa, not like in the days of the Tanaim. You should learn the pilpul, all the good swords, and then you should know halacha l'maisa. How do we paskin? So Rabbi Yehuda says you should be very careful in learning Sheshigas Talmud Ola Zodon. If you make a mistake in learning, you will be held responsible as if you had made the mistake b'mezid. Because in learning, you should be more careful. That's part of the mitzvah of learning, to know what the maskana is. That's interesting. There is a din that Odom HaMasek, Aydei Grama is Potter, Aydei Garmi is Chayv. Garmi is something halfway in between, that's how we assume. Garmi is halfway in between Odom HaMasek, Be'odayim, and Grama Benizik. Odom HaMasek is Chayv, Grama Benizik and is Potter, and Garmi is in between. So that's a famous machlokes between Tosfos and the Ramban, whether Garmi is Chayv and Atorah. It's a machlokes Hatanan, whether Garmi is Chayv. So we pass from like a mayor. That you are chayv in Garmi. So this is machlokes Tosfos in the Ramban. We pass from like Rav Meir, whether Rav Meir's din is deraisa de rabban. The Tosfos says in a few places, in Bava Kama and Bava Basra, Tosfos of the opinion Garmi is only mid the rabbanon. It's only a knas mid the rabbanon. And since it's only mid the rabbanon, lo konsu shog got amazed. If a person is mazik al day Garmi b'shegeg, he would not be chayv. The Ramban disagrees. Ramban wrote a whole kuntras din of the Garmi. So Ramban disagrees with Tosfos, and his first premise is the Gemara's lashon is Rav Meir doin dina de gami. The Gemara doesn't call it knasa de gami. So because it's called dina de gami, so he thinks that it's a real din deraisa, and he disagrees with Tosfos. That Tosfos says that lo konsu shog got the meis. Ramban holds that gami is even chayev b'shogeg also. He disagrees with Tosfos on a few things, all based on this issue. The Shach, in fact, in the end of Chesham Mishpah writes that he initially had a plan to write a whole running commentary on the Kuntras Din and the Garmi of the Ramban. He started writing such a chibur, but then he discontinued because he decided it's a waste of time because we don't really pass like the Ramban. We pass like the Tosfos. The Garmi is only mid the Rabbanon. That's what the Shach writes in the end of Chosha Mishpat. and other rabbanim, big talmid chachamim of our generation, have written full svarim, commentaries on the Ramban's Kuntres Dina Digamni. But Shach writes that he started and he discontinued. So one of the examples of Gami in the Mishnah, the Gemara interprets the Mishnah like that. One of the examples of Gami is Talmud Chacham was asked the Shaila whether the food is kosher. Talmud Chacham said that it's treif, and he may as well feed it to the dogs. So the Baba Batim fed it to the dogs. Then after it was eaten up by the dogs, then the Talmud Chacham realizes that he made a mistake. It's really kosher. So he didn't destroy the food. That should be Gromer ben Ezekin. So the Gemara says, no, that's considered Garmi. Because if you have a religious balabas and he asked his rabbi the rabbi said it's straight, he may as well feed it to the dogs. He's going to listen to the rabbi. So it's the rabbi's fault. That's not called Gromer indirect. It's called a little bit indirect. Halfway in between direct and indirect. So Medina de Garmi is chai. So Tosus is bothered with Akasha. But they hold Gami is only Chaim of the Rabbanon, and only B'mezid, not B'shoigig. Here the rabbi says he made a mistake. It was B'shoigig. So Tosfos says, no, when it comes to Paskening and Shaila, the rabbis are held responsible even though they made a mistake. So the Rashash refers you, that's a Tosfos in Sanhedrin. So the Rashash refers it to this Mishnah. The Mishnah says when a person in learning makes a mistake in the Maskan and the Gemara, Shigig as Talmud Oyla as Odon, a mistake in Psak and Halacha, is considered as if he violated it, b'mezin. So even Gami b'shoigig would be chayv over there, it's considered b'mezin. Maybe I'll just tell a story in the previous Mishnah, in Mishnah Yudei. So yikva tamid chachadav alecha kishaloch. So Pashup Shat in the Mishnah is, you should be careful to be mechabed your talmidim. Just like you would appreciate people respecting you, so you should show respect to your Talmidim also. The word Tzadikim, Big Talmid HaChachamim, Rabbi Kiveger, when he would write a letter to his Talmidim, Adi Gdelim also, they would never write Lechvot Talmidi. Who am I to claim that he's my Talmid, I'm his Rebbe? That he felt uncomfortable. Quote Yedidi, he would call him Yedidi. Usually, sometimes some of my Talmidim ask me to write Haskama for their Sefer or something. So I can't write Talmidi. He wrote a whole sefer. He's a big Talmud Chacham on his own. I write Yedidi, a Rebbe in Yeshiva. I'm going to write Talmidi. It's not right. So that's what the Mishnah says. You should be mechabed your Talmidim. You should be careful. Showing kavod to your Talmidim, just like you would be makbed on your own kavod. So there's a story that's told about the Rebbe. There was a period in history that two Yekeshe communities took two Hasidish Talmud Chachamim to be the Rebbe. The Rebbe of Shmelka was a Talmud of the Mezritcha Magid, who was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. Mezritcha Magid took over. After the Baal Shem Tov passed away, he was the Rebbe of the next generation. So, and apparently the Haflor, who was a brother of the Rebbe of Shmelka, we usually assume he was also a Chassidish. It's questionable. Some say it's not true. But the Pashtus is perhaps that they were both Hasidish, and they were both invited to serve as Rabbanim in Western Europe, where they were all Misnagdim. They were not Hasidim there at all. So the Haflor became the rabbi in Frankfurt, and the Rebbe Rav Shmelka became the rabbi in Nikolsburg. The Rebbe Rav Shmelka from Nikolsburg, that's where he was the rabbi. It's all historical background. How did that happen? That two Hasidish tzaddikim became Rabbanim in non-Hasidish communities. So I remember when I was young, so they told us over this story that when the Rebbe Rav Shmelka came to Nikolsburg, so they made a big Kabbalah upon him. He just arrived by train, whatever, and they made a big celebration, big Kabbalah upon him, such a big Talmud Chacham. So he said that before he comes to attend the Kabbalah upon him, he needs a private room to rest up for 5 minutes and to prepare for the Kabbalah upon him. So they gave him a room. So someone wanted to know, what's he going to do? So someone ran into the room, snuck into the room beforehand, and hid in a closet, and left the closet door open a tiny bit. He should see what's happening. So he sees the Rebbe Rav Shmelka coming into the room. He locks the door. He doesn't want anybody to be there. He stands in front of the mirror, and he says, talking to himself, Shalom Aleichem, the Rebbe Rav Shmelka. Shalom Aleichem, the God Lador. We welcome you. We're so happy that you're coming to our community. The God Lador is such a big Talmud Chacham. And he's praising himself, standing in front of the mirror. So this person who was hiding in the closet, this is going on and on. So he's hiding in the closet. He thought that he flipped his lid. Well, what is he greeting himself? What is he, crazy? And praising himself. So So he jumped out of the closet and he says, what are you, crazy? What is that all about? So the Rebbe of Shmelka was taken aback. So he says, the Mishnah tells us, I know that later on they're going to have a Kabbalah spawn of a reception in Mayan and they're going to praise me. So I'm afraid it's going to go to my head. So I want to prepare in advance that the praises that they give me shouldn't go to my head. So when a person praises himself as the being the God, it doesn't mean anything. He's praising himself. See, Kvod Chavercha, the cover that they're going to give me, I should consider it like kishaloch, like as if I would give myself covered. Just like when I myself give myself covered, it's meaningless. I'm recognizing my greatness. So when I'll hear the same words from the others, I won't take it to heart. I won't get carried away with myself. Have a good Shabbos, everybody. Everybody should be healthy.
Amen. Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos, Rebbe. Thank you
very much.
Shabbos, Rebbe. Thank you.